All right, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and let's go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. You kiddos, y'all can be dismissed and go back for their class. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Been trying to speak to you on Wednesday nights about serving the Lord and what's involved and what you can do to serve the Lord. So we've done that twice, and tonight we're going to get to what I think is the best place to serve the Lord, in and through the church. I definitely believe that, all right? Colossians 3, if you will, look in verse 23. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Every Christian ought to be involved in serving the Lord. All right? It's just something we ought to do. And as I said just a minute ago, I believe maybe the best place and probably the thing you were thinking when we'd get to first when we talked about serving the Lord, the best place to do it, the easiest place to serve the Lord is in your local church. All right? The Lord tells us in Matthew 16:18, Jesus Christ himself said, "I will build my church." This thing called a church is not man's idea. Man never came up with it. It's not something we hatched somehow. It's God's idea. And it goes a little further than that. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I'm glad we have the potential and we're able to live stream out on YouTube and, you know, it's possible for you to watch it. But that's not the same as assembling together, all right? That is just a fix when you can't get here, all right? Because you don't need to get lazy and get the idea, well, I'll just sit at home, you know, and watch service on my TV. No, you need to assemble together, all right? And it's in our local church, it's through local church, that we have the greatest opportunity to serve the Lord. And by the way, it's in the church that we get encouraged to do that. It's here we get encouraged to serve the Lord. All right? Hey, that fella out there on the other side of the assembly line from you ain't going to encourage you to serve the Lord. The profane fellow down at the gas station is not going to encourage you to serve the Lord, all right? But you'll get that encouragement in the house of God. And it's do that. It's a good place to be. And I'll be honest, I believe the local church is God's instrument for reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God instituted the church. That is our purpose. That is our goal, to take the gospel around the world. And every believer ought to be not just a member, but a faithful member of a local church. Every believer should be. And I believe every believer is given opportunities to serve the Lord in and through his church. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at a few ways you can serve the Lord in your church. All right? In your church. And we'll just start in no particular order, but we'll talk about musically. Some folks are musically inclined. Good. Everybody's not. That's okay. But there's many ways to involve yourself in your local church musically, all right? Just a lot of ways. You can vocally, obviously, hey, you can sing in the choir. Very simple thing. You can sing in the choir. Now, you know, hey, all these things we're going to talk about, there may be some requirements, just but in general, hey, you don't have to have a great voice singing the choir. You don't have to be, you know, the next winner of whatever those shows are that pick people, all right? I don't watch them, but I know they're out there, okay? So, but hey, you don't have to be there. You don't have to even qualify to go on one. It does help if you can carry a tune. Does help if you can carry a tune. You don't have to have a great voice, all right? If you're willing to come, you're willing to try, you're willing to give it your best, you're willing to learn, you're willing to put up with the choir director, you can sing in the choir, all right? I mean, you know, hey, there it is. There's an opportunity. You've got a little musical ability. You can do that. Say, man, I don't like the choir. Well, start a kids' choir. Hey, take some time, put a kids' choir together. Let them start singing. Let them start working. And you say, well, when will they sing? Anytime we can give them a chance. Man, people love kids singing. Hey, adults get up and sing, and people sit out and go, but kids singing. They're looking and, you know, they're watching. And boy, them kids are singing. Everybody's on top of it, you know. Hey, good thing to do. That'd be a good. We don't have a children's choir. You say, preacher, we don't have that many children. Well, how many does it take? How many does it take? It's got to begin somewhere, you know. Man, somebody just take that and decide, let's do it, all right? And then obviously there's special singing. You have to have a little bit more talent or ability. I've noticed one other thing you have to do. You have to have some courage. Because you have to be willing to get up in front of people and sing. I've known some folks had some really good voices, but they had such a huge lack of courage, they'd never sing. Good voice, but wouldn't sing, all right? Man, just takes a little bit there. I always tell people, look, don't worry about making mistakes. If you sing a while, you will make a mistake. If you preach a while, you'll make a mistake in what you say. You'll say something you didn't intend to say. But it's okay, because if you as a preacher say something you didn't intend to say, at least five people will tell you about it after service. And oh, hey, preacher, you know what you said? The other night they were giving me a hard time. They said, I didn't have that many verses in that psalm you were talking about. I said, well, you were in the wrong psalm. That's all I can tell you, all right? Or you ought to get a Bible like mine. I don't know, you know. But hey, there's always going to be, don't worry about it. You'll make a mistake. Who hasn't made a mistake? You have. I've told you about some of mine. I've told you about singing in the wedding and off key for the whole time. Couldn't get on the key. So what'd you do? Just tried my best. Got through it. I don't know how they felt that were listening, but I was really glad when it was over. Really glad. I've sung the wrong words. Hey, I played the piano just a little bit, and I had the wrong song that I was playing for this meeting, of a men's meeting, and I had the wrong song. And I, just as I finished the introduction, I realized, wait a minute, this is not the song we're supposed to sing. What did you do? I stood up and said, time out! No, I didn't. All right. I tried to wing it. That was a disaster. So for a little while, they sang with just the organ as I found the right page and got with them, you know. Hey, you said, well, what about that? Get over it. Look, one of the greatest things you need to do is get over yourself. Just get over it. You're going to make mistakes. Everybody's made them. Everybody's made them. There will come times, all right? But hey, if you've got the ability to do a little special singing, man, that's a marvelous thing. Personally, I'd like to have a special every service. And not done to entertain. It's not here to entertain, but it's done to elevate the Lord, lift Him up. That's what it is. It's done to speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. We ought to happily get involved, okay? And it helps people get ready for the preaching. That's why, if you wonder why we have songs before we have the offering and then before we have preaching, it's to get you ready for the preaching. That's what it's all about. It's not a filler. Okay, it's not just to make sure we fill time. No, it has a purpose, all right? Help you to get ready. If you've got any kind of vocal ability, you can do it. Man, praise the Lord, use that. Use that. Can I just say this? Sing when you're in the auditorium. Everybody else sing. Sing the best you can. Just sing the best you can, all right? Then maybe you've got some instrumental talent. Maybe you can play an instrument. How many of you in here, now be honest, When you were in school, you played an instrument in the band. Look at that. Played an instrument in the band. I don't know if I need to preach here a while, but you say, man, that's a long time ago. I can't do that anymore. Well, drag it out. And get the rust off of it. And give it your best, all right? Man, I'm glad Brother Leeper comes, plays the guitar. I enjoy that. Now, he doesn't crank it up. We're going to go, ping, ping, you know. And if he does that, we're going to try to unplug him, all right? But I'm glad he comes and he plays. That's good. I'm glad Miss Abigail comes off and brings her flute and plays. I like it. I like it when Brother Matthew's here and he can play that trumpet, boy. What a blessing it is, you know? What a blessing it is. Just take whatever ability, every talent you've got and use it for the Lord, all right? Man, it's just all of that. And especially think about how it brightens up the offertory. It brightens things up, man. It is just a good thing. By the way, the more instruments you have playing, the less you can hear the mistake any one individual makes. That's always a good thing. Always a good thing. Hey, you use your talent. You got some musically. Then there's the area where people talk about, hey, teaching. And I put some things under here that may not just be teaching. But hey, everybody, a Sunday school class needs a teacher. Sunday school classes need teachers, all right? And if you're, you know, you can be such a tremendous blessing to people. You can touch lives. You can influence people teaching Sunday school. Teaching Sunday school. They don't know enough Bible. You take a class, you'll learn it. Because you won't have any choice, buddy. I learned a long time ago. I started teaching Sunday school. I was a teenage boy. And I started teaching junior boys. And you only show up once with a class of junior age kids, or really even younger. You only show up once, unprepared. Because that Sunday will be torture. Not for them, for you, all right? You better have something there. And it'll encourage you to study. It'll encourage you to read. It'll encourage you to prepare a lesson. And boy, what a blessing it is. You know, I said during my... when I had 50th anniversary in the ministry, I talked about my Bible. The people that taught me Bible college, they were all Sunday school teachers. They'd go to Bible college, learn my Bible in church, in Sunday school, where a faithful teacher got up and taught the Bible lesson. Man, thank God for that, all right? You lose track, you lose the idea of how much good you do as a Sunday school teacher. And by the way, Sunday school teachers often need helpers. They need helpers. You say, well, I don't know anything about doing it. We'll become a helper and you'll get on-the-job training. Hey, we've got some Sunday school teachers been teaching for years and years and years and years, and we don't want to retire them because they're just getting good. We want to keep them teaching. My mom... good land, she must have taught Sunday school for nearly 70 years. And she taught Sunday school for many, 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 many years. And we don't put them out in the pasture. If they still are willing and will try, we try to keep them going, all right? It's a good thing to do, all right? Good thing to do. Under that also, I think, comes children's church and junior church. Sometimes in the church, depending upon who's here, we'll have... while there's church going on in here, there's three going on in three other places in the building. There's teachers that are working with those kiddos, all right, and trying to get into them the truth of the Word of God. Many of you, you're like me. You're past your prime. We're over the hill, all right, way over the hill. No, but we spent some time there, all right. And our minds don't absorb knowledge the way they used to. But kids, I'll tell you, them kids, their mind just sucks it up. Just sucks it up. And what a chance to teach them. What a chance to teach them we have. You understand that oftentimes in church, we have 1 to 2 hours to combat all the other hours that are out there. All the other hours are out there. Everything that they're being exposed to. We've got a few we're bringing in on the bus. We found prospects looking forward to adding to the bus route and seeing that grow. But we need somebody to teach them when they get here, all right? Those minds, it's amazing how they get you because they don't seem like they're listening sometimes, but you ask a question and they've got the answer. An adult doesn't look like he's listening. Sure enough, he ain't listening. But a child, it can be a different thing. That child, they may not be listening, looking like they're listening, but they are. They're picking it up, all right? Hey, there's a need. There's a place to serve God in the children's ministry, if you will. Hey, nursery workers. You said, man, there's nothing there. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Hey, look, you ladies, they won't let us men work in the nursery. But you ladies that work in the nursery, I want you to know you've got a job there that can be influential. You're holding those little ones. Did it ever occur to you you ought to be singing to them? I never forget, I know my wife, she says when they get a certain age, she begins to try to teach them to sit in a chair, and they begin to try to teach them a little Bible story. And it's got to be quick. But hey, there's time there. You're learning, you're teaching, you're helping, you're serving the Lord, all right? There's just a lot of things to do. And then I think about what I call individual participation. There's boundless opportunities in the house of God right here. You don't have to have great training. You don't have to have great experience rolled up, all right? You say, well, what? Well, you can be an usher. You have ushers. You don't have to be certified. You don't have to go through 6 months training. We can tell you how it is, all right? And you have to learn how to do that. But it's a general thing, easy, but it's an important job. And I mean, say this, hopefully things will grow and get bigger and better, and usher help people find a seat. Hey, we've got a seat here. All right. Got a seat here. And yeah, usher's involved in a lot of different things, okay? There was a time when the usher would carry this long pole with this knob on the end of it. You know what it was for? To wake you up if you went to sleep. Bop on the head, all right? Now, we could never let Brother Pike do that because people would have their skulls shattered, all right? He would get too excited in it, all right? Hey, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things usher can do, all right? Hey, let me say this to you. There's a need for altar workers. Need for people to be able to work the altar. He said, what do you mean, preacher? To deal with people that come forward. To deal with people that come forward. You ever stop and think, could you deal with them? Hey, if there's somebody that walks the aisle like there was last Sunday morning, came and said, I want to be saved. I need somebody that can take the Bible and show them how to be saved. I need to be able to look up and point my finger at you and go this and have you not do. I need you to be able to do it. He said, well, I don't know how. Well, are you willing to be trained? Not a hard thing to do. But you need to be having a... Hey, there's a need for altar workers. There's a need for folks to be able to take somebody, open the Word of God, take them through the Bible, show them how to be born again. There's a need sometimes for workers to be able to give people assurance of salvation. Everybody that comes not necessarily need to be born again. Some of them just need a little assurance because of maybe some things they've been involved in. There's a lot of things altar workers can do. It's a good thing to do that. Hey, here's one. You don't have to have any training whatsoever. You can be a greeter. Every church member ought to be, to some extent, a greeter. We ought not to have somebody come into church and everybody go, "Who's that? Preacher, there's a new person here. Who is that?" I don't know. Run them off. Whatever you do, don't let them stay. Man, get acquainted with them. Be a greeter. We need people to do that. Everybody ought to be willing to do it. You know, when people come to church and they feel like they're welcome, they have a tendency to want to come back. They have a tendency to want to come back because they realize, hey, those people act like they were glad I was there. They were glad I came. We don't want to just see folks and walk by, but a greeter, hey, just somebody to open the door for people. Brother Minyard was doing that until he got sick. He would stand back there and open the door for folks. And there's a need for people to do that. Just say, "Howdy, how you doing? Glad you're here." And hey, just talk to people, just simple thing. Now here's one that it doesn't stand you out and doesn't get you in front of anybody. You say, "Well, I'm shy." Good, I got a job for you, no sweat. You can help clean the church. Hey, the truth of the matter is everybody can pitch in and help doing that. So, "Well, I like to talk after church." Good, talk while you're cleaning. You can do that, all right? You can do that. No problem whatsoever. I got some kids that clean at school, and they're so good at talking while they clean that it takes them an hour to do what a normal person can do in 20 minutes. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, look, there's a job you can do. Look, you don't have to have a PhD to run a toilet brush. There's no power. You don't have to worry about getting electrocuted. And anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. It's a pretty simple thing. And I've noticed sometimes, man, this is quite an subject to talk about, but here it comes. Toilets get stopped up. And somebody comes looking for somebody else. My word, you don't know how to run a plunger? You know, you don't. It's like, you know, somebody said, "Hey, Fred, stay away from that wheelbarrow. You know you don't know nothing about machinery." And anybody can run those kind of things. We can do it. A broom, a vacuum cleaner, a duster, everybody. And the more to get involved, the quicker the job is done. It's a blessing. And you're serving the Lord when you do it. You're serving the Lord when you do it. I'm going to give you something you never thought about. When I say it, you're going to say, "Preacher, you lost your mind. You want to participate. You be a nodder." A nodder. He said, "What? A nodder, not a shaker, but a nodder." Nodder. You say, "In agreement." In agreement. Look, in this day, us independent fundamental Baptist preachers are looked upon as dinosaurs. And the world looks at it and says, "Does anybody really believe that anymore?" Well, hey, they ought to, if they come into a church like this and the preaching's going on, if you don't say amen, at least you ought to be on, "That's right, preacher." They ought to know, hey, we're in agreement with him. And maybe they wouldn't sit there and think, "This is the strangest thing I ever heard of. As soon as I can get out of here, I'm out of here." No, they might realize, hey, maybe God's in this. And it's not just that fellow at the front that believes what he's saying. There's a whole bunch of people out here believe it too. They're not just sitting here waiting until he changes the subject. Oh, that's right. That's right. Now, sometimes that means you've got to nod knowing you're wrong. "Hey, I'm in the wrong, but preacher, that's right. That's right." All right. Hey, you serve the Lord, you ought to attend every meeting you can of the assembly. Why? Just as encouragement to anybody else. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. It's a simple thing. Then we serve the Lord in the outreach of a church. Hey, there's a need for folks to visit people. Folks to visit people. Some people get sick. It's good to have somebody come by and see you. Now, obviously, you don't go to somebody that's got the measles and say, "Hey, bud, how's it going? Breathe on me, breathe." No, that's not the time to do it. But I mean, somebody's just having a problem. Maybe they've had an operation, had surgery in the hospital. Go see somebody. Just make a visit. How you doing? Just let them know we care. Just let them know we're praying for you. Want you to know that. Want you to know we're praying. There's a lot of places you can visit and encourage people. We got folks that are shut in. The Hodges right now, man, they'd love to be in church. They can't come. Just can't come. It's good for somebody to go see them. Good and cheer them up, help them along. And good to get out and witness to people, all right? Witness to people. You say, "Well, I don't know how to do it." Well, can you take a little piece of paper in your hand called a tract and say, "Would you read that?" You can memorize the words. Would you read this? Would you read this? You don't have to memorize four words. Would you read this? That's all you got to do. Hand them out. If that's the way you start. The way you start. Learn to witness. Learn to witness to people. We've got tracts back there, and you can pick them up. God's simple plan of salvation. Pick them things up. Take them. Hand them out. Witness to people. Boy, read that. He said, "Well, what are you going to do? What am I supposed to do if I ask a question?" Well, what you do is you tell them how you got saved. You tell them how you got saved. "How did that happen?" "Well, I realized I was a sinner and I was lost. I was going to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where I was headed. And by the way, I deserved it. But the Lord offered me a free gift. And I took him up on it. I just took him up on it. And I called on him, asked him to save my soul." You know what you can tell him? You know what he did? He did it. He did it. Now, you just, learn to witness to people. Hey, get involved in the bus ministry. Maybe you can get a CDL. We never have too many bus drivers. If you get you a CDL, learn how to drive that bus. It's a long car, especially now. They're all automatic transmissions. Now, when I started driving them, they were fun. They were, ship them rascals around. It was enjoyable. Now it's just, that's probably better because we don't have to replace clutches anymore, all right? And some people would ride the clutch. And we had a bus driver years ago that drove for years, and we knew that bus would need a clutch sooner or later because that driver just rode the clutch, and they burned them up. He said, "Well, why didn't you tell them?" Didn't do any good. Plus, they were faithful to be there. And, get involved. And he said, "Well, I never drive one." Okay, learn how to make a bus visit. Learn how to make a bus visit. Learn how to find prospects. Learn how to do that. Get after it. Just decide to do it. Get involved. Hey, it gets you out of the house earlier on Sunday. Get you on the bus. Man, you can have a time on the bus. Sometimes you got the right driver, you'll be closer to God. Because you'll be praying, "Lord, don't let him kill us." There's just a lot of things you can do, okay? Get involved and say, "I'm going to be involved." And go on bus visitation. It's not hard. I know it's not hard. I was doing it when I was a teenager. I'll be honest with you. Some of the most fun I had was as a bus captain. It was fun. It was exciting. You never knew what was going to happen. Had no idea. I mean, you'd prepare and work. One year we worked for a bus, and we had a big prize kids bringing, and we had footballs autographed by all the Dallas Cowboys. This was when they could spell, and they were a good team, and they won Super Bowls, all right? We had several autographed footballs, legitimate things. Never forget that one. The kids on my bus won it. The next Saturday, I come over to his house. He's playing football with it. He's out in the yard kicking it, playing. Who needs a ball if you're not going to play with it, right? Man, there's no telling what that football might be worth today if it hadn't have been abused, okay? Hey, there's so many experiences. I'm just telling you, all right? There's so many ways you can serve God. So many ways. And you're never going to serve the Lord, though, until you make yourself available. Until you say, here I am, all right? I think sometimes people have taken themselves out of the ministry and out of the mix over the years. Maybe not intentionally. Well, get back in on whatever level you can handle. You still have your Bible open by any chance at Colossians 3? Look at verse 23. You see that whatsoever ye do? This is what we're talking about. Whatsoever ye do. Whatever you can do. All right? Whatever you can do. Do it heartily as to the Lord. Why? Because we're serving Him. We're serving Him. All right? You're not there to impress anybody else. I tell you, I don't mind telling you. You get out on a bus, man, and your bus ministry and your bus visitation in the summer, in July and August in Texas, you're going to sweat, buddy. There's going to be some sweat rolling off of you. And you're going to get in that bus and you're going to pray, don't let the light change. Don't let the light turn red. Because the air conditioner doesn't work. Because the only air conditioner is those windows that are rolled down. And as long as you're moving in that bus, not too bad. But when you stop. Now, somebody said, you're done talking me out. You wimp. Come on. You get out in the winter, it can, man, you have them day. It's cold. Man, is it cold. And, of course, the wind's blowing 40 miles an hour. Hey, but I'll tell you this. One thing, every bus we've ever had, you turn the heater on, and before you get back to church, you turn it off. Because it will roast you out of there, man. It'll just roast you out of there. And if you're the driver and you don't change that thing during the summer, it'll roast you out of the seat too, all right? I mean, hey, it's just there. And I look at it and you say, well, you're going to talk about, no, that's the fun of it. Have some things to look back on. Oh, they weren't fun when they happened, but they're fun now to talk about. Enjoyable to do it. Hey, never done it? I challenge you, give it a try. I challenge you, give it a try. Do everything you can. Just give it a try. Let God lead you and let God use you in serving Him. Don't cut yourself out. You're not here simply to fill a pew. You're here to serve Him. You're here to serve Him. Some of that serving gets involved maybe when we're having special things and meals and cooking food. There's a whole bunch of things that I didn't mention. But let me say this in closing. One word, volunteer. Volunteer. Nobody asked me. And you didn't volunteer either, right? Man, why do you have to be asked? I could just say, could I get involved in that? Could I just get involved in that? Is there something I can do? Could I get involved in that? Yeah, get involved. Get involved. Hey, I tell you what, the more things you can do, the more places you can serve, the better the pay is. Not here, but in heaven. Hey, the more you can do, the more slots you can fill. Man, you can get drafted. Somebody, you get a call, preacher gets a call in the morning, preacher can't be there, sick, can't be, all right? Then I need somebody to fill that place. Need somebody to call on the phone. Said, I'll be there. I can do that. Learn all you can. Decide in your life and in your heart, I'm going to do everything I can to serve my Lord. Everything I can. You said, preacher, it's easy for you. It just comes natural. You got no idea what you're talking about. You got no idea how much time I spent in trying to learn how to do some things. I had somebody teach me how to visit a bus route. I had somebody show me how to do it. I had somebody that gave some effort along that line. Said, here's the way you do it. All right? And man, just started doing it. We could go on and on. Don't sell yourself short. For we serve the Lord Christ. That's who we're serving. That's who we're serving. Look, one of these days, you're going to die. One of these days, you're going to die. I don't care the best that medicine can do, you will die. If the Lord doesn't come back, you're going to die. Now, what are they going to be able to say about you? And ain't nobody sat in the pew the way they did. They sure were faithful. That's a good thing. But wouldn't you want it said more than, yeah, they took care of their pew. Nobody else sat there. They saw to it. They were there every service. They never missed. What'd you do for God? What'd you do for God? Man alive. I still enjoy watching ball games. Went last night and watched Madison play softball. And I enjoyed it. Windy as all get out. Got to eat a little dirt because it was blowing off the field on you, you know. And I still enjoy that. But if I had my druthers, I'd druther be playing. Said, why don't you? They don't have a crippled men's league. Don't have one of them. Hey, here I am. I got a chance to serve God. You've got a chance to serve God. Serve Him. Serve Him. That's not the only things you can do to serve the Lord. But does that at least give you an eye-opener and realize, hey, there's something I could do. I just need to step up and do it. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Help us to realize you saved us, and You saved us, Lord, to serve You. You didn't save us to sit and soak, and you saved us to serve You, that we might be used of You. And, Lord, we could do something that touched somebody else's life. And maybe we could teach them. But, Lord, if we couldn't teach them, we could at least reach them and bring them in. And Lord, but somehow, somewhere, there's a job for us. And Lord, would You help us to look and find it and get to work? Just make ourselves busy and realize, oh, don't have to just take one job. I can do more than one. I can serve You. Lord, just deal with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.